Welcome to Forums for a Future. No, it's not 1960. It's nearly half a century later. But, once again, there are warnings of danger all over the land. It's time, once again, to reclaim a future that is free of war, racism, and poverty. A brighter future of promise and hope. I am Edward Renner, your host for a series of civic discussions, forums, if you will, toward creating a more viable future. This podcast is similar to a university course. There are three recent books that provide background information and are suggested reading. The complete outline for the podcast and all reference material are available on the Forums for a Future homepage on my website, which is at www.kerenner.com. While each of the individual podcasts is a self-contained piece, taken together, they are a sequential series that build on each other. There is a logical progression, starting with an identification of the issues, moving on to an analysis of how to better understand them, and ending with practical ways to respond to them. It's not sufficient to complain about the present, unless you have a perspective for the future that offers reasonable alternatives. The outline on the Forums for a Future homepage provides the structure for this trip from the present to the future. Welcome to podcast number 3, the introduction to part 2, A Philosophy for the 21st Century. Each podcast can stand alone as an independent piece, but each one is also part of a series. Thus, I will begin each new podcast with a brief summary of what went before. Part 1 of the series had 2 podcasts. The first was a brief 2-minute promotional, and the second provided a conceptual foundation for the series. Today's podcast, number 3, is the introduction to part 2, which provides a philosophy for the 21st century. There is one essential idea for part 2. It's the idea of an inflection point. In mathematics, an inflection point is that moment when there's a change in the direction of a graphic line. However, in the context of social change, an inflection point is that moment after which everything else is different. When applied to a person, for example, it would mean a situation that changed in a significant way a person's life. When applied to Mother Earth, an example would be the cosmic events millions of years ago which caused a change in the Earth's axis, which turned frozen landmass into tropical forests and tropical forests into frozen land. That was an inflection point in the history of the Earth. Everything on the face of the planet was changed. The concept of an inflection point can be applied to any physical, economic, political, social, or personal realm. As people, we're probably most familiar with personal inflection points. They are life events that forever change a person. As a personal illustration, the most important inflection point in my life came as a result of going to college. I assumed that I would complete a 4-year degree and go to work like most people. Little did I know then what was ahead. I found that I was not satisfied with just learning facts. In my psychology class, for example, I was not satisfied to learn that a test could measure how happy you are. I wanted to know, what is happiness, and how would you know? I had a professor who introduced me to psychological research. He opened the door to the process of how to study and try to explain human behavior. That turned out to be an inflection point in my life. and I can tell you exactly when and where it happened. It was in 1954 and 1955 at the junior college in my hometown in Altoona, Pennsylvania. But inflection points don't have to be personal. They can also be economic or social or political. An example of a political inflection point was the creation and the use of the atomic bomb. That single event, forever, changed world politics. War between nations took on a new meaning and made it absolutely imperative that the nations of the world find some means to make sure that atomic weapons would never be used again. That was an inflection point in the history of the world. Some inflection points are due to external causes. They are events over which people have no control. The Ice Age, due to the shift of the Earth's axis, is one example. Many other examples may be found in Jared Diamond's book. However, other inflection points and their consequences are the result of human actions and decisions. A modern example is global warming, which is the consequence of the CO2 emissions of our modern industrial world. One of the outcomes of global warming has been a melting of the Earth's ice caps. Of particular concern is the western shelf of the Antarctic. There are signs that it's becoming detached and could slide off into the ocean. Because it's the size of Greenland, it would raise sea levels around the world by 20 feet. This would put one-third of Florida underwater. In Beijing, 20 million people would be displaced. And in Bangladesh, the home of 60 million people would be underwater. This would be an inflection point of major proportions. It would disrupt the stability of the world. Things would never be the same again. An inflection point need not be a brief moment in time. In fact, significant inflection points usually occur over some period of time during which the important changes take place. For me, to continue the personal example, the change took place over the 2 years I spent at the junior college in my hometown. For the political example, the atomic bomb, although August 6, 1945, marked the exact moment when nuclear weapons became a reality. In fact, it was known for many years that atomic bombs were theoretically possible. Thus, it was just a matter of time until one would be produced, unless, during that period, the political leaders were able to deter its development. Of course, as we now know, they were not, and the world, as a result, experienced an inflection point. Because inflection points usually occur over a period of time, they offer the possibility of being anticipated. This interval of time offers us an opportunity to plan for the change and to avoid unwanted negative consequences. The consequences of global warming are an example. We already know what will happen. But yet, it's not clear that collectively, humankind, on a worldwide basis, has the political capacity to make an adequate response to reverse the process. This is especially true in light of the current foreign policy directions of the United States. And you can look and see Dyer's book for an extended discussion of why this is the case. In contrast, the people who settled Eastern Island, as described in Jared Diamond's book, in about 800 A.D., were probably unaware that cutting down the trees at a rate necessary to support their growing population would cause soil erosion that would destroy their agricultural base, and with less crops, that they would then overfish and overharvest the nesting birds, resulting in a complete collapse of the capacity of the people to feed themselves. Another defining characteristic of inflection points are that they represent a point of no return, or are like the straw that broke the camel's back. More recently, Malcolm Gladwell popularized the graphic phrase, the tipping point, to label this same process. So August 6, 1945, marked a point of no return, or the tipping point, for nuclear warfare. To return to my personal example, the tipping point was 1954 and 1955. I had worked all the time that I was an undergraduate, and I saved money to buy a motorcycle so that I could take a road trip when I graduated. But by then, it was too late. I had passed the tipping point. A road trip on a motorcycle was no longer in the picture. Something else had taken over my life. The money was now for books and tuition. For the people on Easter Island, the population growth accelerated in the beginning, in what was then a land of plenty. However, tree consumption increased proportionately with the population growth. At some moment in time, the tipping point was crossed. There were fewer and fewer trees to meet the needs of greater and greater numbers of people. At that point, there was no longer enough time for the regrowth of a sufficient number of trees to stop the soil erosion. Thus, the overfishing and the overharvesting of the nesting birds, which resulted, completed the circle. Famine, war, and social collapse were then inevitable. Once too many of the trees were cut down, there was no possibility of recovery. So, too, it is with global warming. There is no immediate off switch that someone can press. The sun's rays, which are trapped in the Earth's atmosphere, will continue to warm the Earth even after we start to reduce the levels of CO2 emissions. It will take an extended period of time to undo the damage we have done. Some estimates are that we are 10 years away from the tipping point, from the point of no return. If, by then, we have not started to reverse global warming, we will be like the people on Easter Island. The warming will continue, and we will do irreparable damage to the Earth. Damage which is on the other side of the tipping point, perhaps as severe as losing the Antarctic ice shelf into the ocean, causing sea levels to rise 20 feet worldwide. So, what do we need to understand for developing a philosophy for having a future in the 21st century? I will suggest that there are three elements which comprise the three podcasts of Part 2. The first is the idea that the year 2000 was an inflection point. It marked the end of the modern era. In short, things are really different now. This will be podcast number 4. The second is, what does it mean personally and psychologically to be at the end of an era? If Easter Island is a metaphor for the present, it means we must change core beliefs and values in order to have a future. But how does this happen? What is required of human nature for someone to say, I am different now. I think differently than I used to. This is podcast number 5. The third is, what is on the other side of this inflection point? What are the shape and the form of the postmodern era we have just entered? Welcome to the future. What an exciting time to be alive. This is podcast number 6, and it will complete part 2 of the series. Thank you for the day.
the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
No, it is not 1960, and I am not living in the past. It's nearly one half of a century later, and I am looking into the future. There's an urgency now to finish what was started then. It has taken another war, another replay of Vietnam, to bring us full circle. But this time, there is the absolute necessity of putting into practice what was then seen as the exuberance of idealistic youth. Well, it's no longer youthful idealism. It is our new reality for both the youth and the adults of today. Either we embrace fundamental economic, political, social, and personal change, or we will forfeit our collective future. The youth and the adults of today have common cause for a cross-generational commitment, a commitment by the youth to lay claim to a viable future, a commitment by adults to revisit the idealism of their past, this time for actually creating a sustainable future. What an exciting time to be alive.
How many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? How many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing.